A Meeting in the Woods, written by Yosk, read by Raven. Summary. What are they doing? Yelena asks. Some sort of kids camp? Brownies or something, I don't know. Yelena drops the binoculars and turns to her seriously. Brownies are cakes. You're losing your touch. Natasha scoffs and bats Yelena's fingers away, cocked like a pistol against her temple. I knew it was you. She gets an arched, skeptical eyebrow in return. Oh, really? Natasha smirks and turns back to her binoculars, rolling back onto her stomach on the dry summer earth. Yelena drops emphatically beside her, nudging her shoulder so she too can see down past the trees and to the church below them. Warm breath tickles her ear. Which one is it? Natasha passes her the binoculars. On the left, behind the washing up bowls. She squints. Huh. She follows the woman in question for a couple of moments. Natasha rolls tiredly onto her back, raising a hand against the dappled sunlight filtering through the trees. What are they doing? Yelena asks. Some sort of kids' camp? Brownies or something. I don't know. Yelena drops the binoculars and turns to her seriously. Brownies are cakes. Natasha laughs and shakes her head. They are. They get chocolate goo all over your fingers. She gestures down the hill. Those are not brownies. It's a youth club for girls. They skip around singing songs and learn how to do crafts and build campfires. But why do they call it brownies? Natasha drops her hand to her face. It's from Scottish folklore. A brownie's like an elf. Huh. Yelena picks up the binoculars again. England is even weirder than America. Natasha smirks and lets her hand fall to her side, closing her eyes as she relinquishes her watch. She's been here for 2 days, and it's been deadly dull, watching Inessa Petrova run wholesome vacation time activities, waiting until she can get her safely alone, and wondering what on earth this had been supposed to achieve for the Red Room. She breathes out. It doesn't matter anymore. But she is curious. Yelena stiffens beside her. Natasha rubs her eyes and rolls back over. What's happening? I don't know. She grabs the binoculars from her, receiving an indignant jab in the ribs for her trouble, and squints down through the grass at the commotion. There's a lot of squealing centered around the washing line set up behind the lunch tables. It's nothing, she murmurs. Looks like a dog pissed on their tea towels. She tries to pass the binoculars back to Yelena. You took them. Natasha rolls her eyes and resumes her watch. You know, she yawns exaggeratedly, I told you I was here because I wanted a break. Yelena ignores her. Natasha can feel the vibrations in her ribcage when she starts to talk again. I still want a dog. Not a stupid little yappy one like that. It would have to be big enough to keep up. Barton had a greyhound once. Erg, one good sprint and then they sleep the rest of the day. And they are always cold. I want something big and warm and able to look after itself. Natasha hums noncommittally, still staring at the commotion below her. Inessa has disappeared inside the church hall with a bundle of tea towels, whilst the girls make disgusted faces at each other. Isn't that the point of a dog, though? They always need you. Yelena stares into the middle distance for a moment, and then shakes her head. Did you ever have a dog? Natasha thinks a moment. I had a cat. A cat? Her voice drips with derision. I didn't really have a cat. It just turned up on the fire escape one day and wouldn't go away. I think she was my second friend in America, after Barton, and she was only really there for the food. What happened to her? Natasha shrugs. I don't know. Aliens turned up and that whole building turned to rubble and I never saw her again. Yelena's hand flutters near her shoulder in a gesture obviously meant to be comforting without being cloying, but just kind of feels like she's trying to tickle her. Her lip twitches. I called her Liho. Yelena throws back her head and positively guffaws with laughter. If it's possible for someone to guffaw whilst barely making a sound, her mouth opens and her shoulders shake. Natasha smirks and turns back to the binoculars. What? She says innocently. She kept sneaking into my apartment in the dead of night to steal my food. What else was I gonna call her? I bet she survived, says Yelena, still smiling into the trees. With a name like that? Yeah, Natasha's voice trails off. She hopes she did, but the implication is melancholy. Evil always survives. She focuses on Inessa as she finishes corralling the long tables of little girls through the washing up. There are three other women down there, one now unboxing craft supplies and passing them among the tables. She tries to make out what they're doing. Yelena's voice breaks her concentration again. What are the brownies like? Huh? You said they were like elves. Are they like Liho? Natasha shakes her head. Nah, they're very boring. They sneak around in the dead of night doing chores in exchange for a bowl of milk. Psst, that's not what little girls do. I know that. The end of her sentence turns into a yawn for real this time. Her eyes itch. Yelena snatches the binoculars from her. Take a nap. Put your feet up like an old person. You have no stamina. I've been here 2 days, she protests dryly, but relinquishes her hold and shifts to dig around in the backpack propped against the base of the tree. Pfft. Yelena deepens her voice to a passable imitation of Alexei.
That is nothing. True comrade does not need sleep. True comrade can survive on a fire of communist ideal.
Natasha throws a protein bar at her head. She catches it without looking. Wake me up in an hour, dipshit. She pillows her head on her sweatshirt and lets her eyes drift shut. Sweet dreams, sistra. Yelena mumbles around a mouthful of nuts and chocolate. When Natasha blinks her eyes open, night has fallen. Yelena is a shadow in the darkness next to her, still staring down the hill. That was more than an hour, she grumbles. Yelena shrugs. You look like you needed it. Anything happen? No, they're looking for bats. Fun. Natasha stretches. She has a crick in her neck and there's a tree root digging into her hip. The air is cooler now and she shrugs the sweatshirt on over Yelena's vest and digs around in her rucksack for another protein bar and a bottle of water. She munches slowly, blinking herself into alertness and following up with a few swigs from the bottle. When she's done, Yelena offers her the binoculars. Nah, she says. You're doing a very good job.
I need to piss.
Natasha huffs and takes them from her. She gestures in front of them. Go downhill.
I'm not an idiot.
Yelena disappears behind a few trees, and Natasha hears a faint rustling and the patter of liquid on the dusty soil and twigs. She returns, still adjusting her pants. Better? Natasha asks, trying her luck to hand off the binoculars again. Much. Yelena settles cross-legged on the floor at least a foot away, steadfastly ignoring the object being waved at her. Natasha accepts defeat and turns back down the slope. The girls are gathered outside the church hall, staring up at the sky in little groups. Every now and then, a shadow flits past, and there are oohs and ahs and occasionally squeals. She can make out Inessa's silhouette against the faint emergency lighting filtering out of the church hall. She's tall and slender, but that's not how she can distinguish her from the other woman. She moves in a way that's so familiar. It screams at her across the hillside, and she struggles to comprehend that no one else can see it. She's made us, Yelena's voice cuts across her thoughts. Yeah, I know, Natasha murmurs. She made me 2 hours in. So that's why you called for backup, Yelena says dryly. Natasha shrugs. Her lip twitches even as she struggles to keep a straight face, sure that Yelena can see her expression even in the near total darkness. Maybe I just missed you. Pfft. She grabs Natasha's backpack and pokes at it, rearranging things until she can lie back and rest her head on it. I'm sleeping now. Don't wake me up. I thought you were fueled by the fire of communist ideals. I could be fueled by the communist ideals if I want to be, but today, she smiles smugly, I do not need to be. Anyway, this is your mission. I do not ask you to come and hold my hand when I do this. I have my own stuff going on. Things to do, people, she gestures down the hill toward Anissa, to see. I know. A sting of guilt tugs at Natasha's stomach, that she slowed this unbearably slow process down still further by dragging Yelena away from her own list of widows. But, she reasons, this whole situation with the kids and Anissa steadfastly ignoring the suspicious women watching her from the hillside is entirely unsettling, and better they both get out than Natasha tries and fails by herself. Or, worse, allows someone else to get hurt in the process. And she has missed her. Yelena sleeps on her back, fingers woven together over her stomach, her chest rising and falling evenly. She'll move her hands in a moment, shake them out unconsciously when her fingers get pins and needles and settle them by her side, and then back on her stomach a few minutes later to start the whole cycle again. She's been doing it since she was a child. Natasha blinks and turns her attention back to the gathering down the hill. The bat spotting party is winding up, the girls being herded inside by the minders, the church hall lit up again like a beacon in the darkness. It's hard to make out individuals now. It's just a writhing mass of giggling shadows slowly disappearing inside. There's a lot of movement for an hour or so, bathroom trips and midnight snacks, before they all settle into their camp beds for the night. The temperature outside has dropped considerably by the time the main lights switch off, and all she can see is the occasional flashlight patrolling up and down between beds. The first night, she'd waited, alert for the slightest breath in the darkness, for Anissa to come and find her. Tonight, she doesn't expect she will. A shiver runs through her. There are blankets in her rucksack, but Yelena is using it as a pillow. Natasha shifts slowly towards her, finding a new vantage point from which she can sit cross-legged and see down the hill. She's close enough to feel the heat emanating from Yelena's sleeping body. She moves carefully, expecting her to flinch away at the contact, but she shifts minutely toward her instead. Delicately, Natasha lifts her head off the bag and onto her lap. She doesn't wake. Natasha lets out the breath she was holding and presses her shaking hands into the cold ground. The blankets will have to wait. After staring up at the sky for a few steadying moments, she pulls them out. One she drapes over her own shoulders, the other over Yelena. She feels like she's tucking in a child who stayed up too late and fell asleep in their clothes, and her eyes prick with moisture. She blinks it away and she lifts the binoculars, elbows on her knees as she stares into the darkness. The night wears on and her back aches and her feet go numb, but she daren't move. Yelena snores gently. As the sky pinkens, the blonde head in her lap stirs and blinks a few times. Natasha looks down. Yelena frowns in confusion. We're both upside down. The tension snaps and Natasha leans backwards, hands pressed into the ground behind her. If I'm a poser, you have a catchphrase. She smirks. Your ankles are knobbly. So is your head. Yelena sits up and wraps the blanket around her like a cape. Natasha lets hers fall from her shoulders, stretching her legs out and shaking her feet to encourage the feeling back into them. Anything happen?
No.
This is boring.
Yeah.
There's a tension in the air now, winding tighter. They've been waiting too long. They're leaving this morning. We can make our move. Yelena stares at her in disbelief. You knew that and you made us wait here all this time? Why not just come back later? Or find her someplace when she's not surrounded by small annoying children waiting to get in the way? Natasha looks down at her hands in her lap and focuses on straightening the sleeves of her sweatshirt. I read her emails. Yes, and, says Yelena impatiently, I saw she was doing this, running this. She gestures frustratedly with one hand. Summer camp for little girls. And it scared me, okay? Natasha lifts her head to look at Yelena in the eye. I hoped it was just a cover, but I thought it might be something else. Yelena breathes out and her expression softens. She wraps her hands around her knees and stares away down the hill. It's not. I know, but, she pauses, I've been wrong before.
I haven't.
Yelena's self-assuredness is simultaneously comforting and crying out to be poked at. Natasha looks at her.
No, you've never been wrong. Not ever.
Her lip twitches. No, I have not. She tries to hide her smile.
You are always absolutely 100% right.
Yes, Yelena nods emphatically. Natasha laughs openly. Then, and Yelena catches her eye and grins with all the self-satisfaction of Cheshire Cat. Anyway, we could take it down again. She waves her hand vaguely. We did it before. It was easy. Almost as boring as this. Natasha sobers, wanting to continue the ribbing, but not really able to. Her voice is quiet and contemplative.
I don't want to, though.
Yelena's fingers shift across the ground between them and squeeze her hand. She squeezes back. As mid-morning approaches, cars pull up in the little parking lot outside the church hall. Parents wander around looking lost, and girls are shepherded out with giant rucksacks and holdalls to be gathered into waiting arms. Yelena leans into Natasha's side as they watch, listening to the soft breeze rustling the trees and feeling the sun on their legs as it filters through the branches. Where's your bike? Yelena's breath whispers annoyingly against her ear, and she shifts her head away.
About a half a mile that way,
she gestures with one hand. I tagged Inessa's car, but I have a funny feeling we won't be needing it. Natasha frowns.
Why, how did you get here?
Taxi. She raises an eyebrow.
What? I have money. I can do what I like with it.
Natasha rolls her eyes and turns back down the slope. A taxi's more traceable, and that makes the back of her neck itch because she's absolutely fed up of ducking and diving around Ross's cronies just to get some honest work done. But Yelena's not an idiot. It's probably fine.
You've lost her.
A sharp voice cuts through her thoughts.
I have not... Shit.
One moment Inessa had been hauling the last child's rucksack into a waiting car, and the next, she was gone. They both scramble to their feet, and Natasha casts around their makeshift camp. It's full of hiding places and shadows, and dappled sunlight, and all the other features that make it a great place for a stakeout, and a terrible place to be ambushed. She pulls a red vial from her vest and shoves it at Yelena, flicking her eyeline up into the trees above them.
Why do I have to climb the tree? Yelena grumbles under her breath, but she takes the vial and hoists herself upwards, soon getting lost amongst the branches.
Natasha settles herself on the floor with her back against a trunk, trying to look as harmless and unthreatening as possible. She hates this part, and there's nothing else she'd rather be doing. And it's utterly, completely exhausting. She tries to relax, dropping her shoulders and letting her gaze rest unfocused on a patch of sunlight shimmering on the ground in front of her. Yelena stops moving, and she's vaguely aware of her steady breathing. Several yards above and to the left of her, just at the reaches of her hearing and only because she knows that she's there. No two have been the same. Some of them try to talk to her. Some of them have recognized her. Most have attacked on sight. She waits patiently, triangulating the near-silent footsteps approaching from behind her and to her left. A shadow falls over her. Anessa Petrova is tall and willowy and very, very blonde. Her expression is pure ice. She approaches warily. Natalia Romanova, she says, circling around to plant herself uphill. And she continues, her gaze tracing upwards into the canopy above Natasha's head. Yelena Bel... Argh! One of the many things that Natasha loves about Yelena is that she does not stand on ceremony. She drops like a stone, lands on Anessa's chest, and smashes the vial into her face as they both roll backwards across the ground. Natasha smirks and rises gracefully from her position on the floor. Need a hand? Yelena scowls distractedly. They're both focused on Anessa, her eyes squeezed shut against the red gas and her face twisted as though she's about to sneeze. She shakes her head once. Yelena rolls off her, staring intently. She opens her eyes. What? Oh. She pushes herself into a sitting position and scrambles backwards. Dragov's dead, says Natasha. It's the first thing she always says. It's the first question they ask. The red room's gone, continues Yelena, and Anessa turns to stare at her. There was a big explosion. She mimes it with her hands in a rather whimsical fashion, somehow retaining the seriousness of the situation. Anessa closes her eyes for a moment and breathes deeply. Good. She pauses for a moment, staring into the middle distance, and then takes Yelena's proffered hand and scrambles to her feet. Thank you. Natasha nods and turns away, her gaze drifting down the hill. She knows it's survivor's guilt that she's struggling with, knows that the 10 years of freedom she spent in ignorance are not her fault, that if she hadn't got out then, they wouldn't have been able to do this now. But still... she struggles, watching them return over and over again. Our pleasure, Yelena says dryly. Natasha can hear her brushing herself off and picking twigs out of her hair in an exaggerated fashion. Anessa chuckles. Natasha's mood lightens. Have you got somewhere to go? She asks, turning back to face them. Natasha frowns. I have a cover, and... I think I like some parts of it, but... She shudders almost imperceptibly. Yelena puts a gentle hand on her arm. But it wasn't your choice. No. I don't know if I want to blow it all, though. You don't have to decide now. You have so much time. She takes a few deep breaths. What did you do? Yelena grins.
I destroyed the Red Room. But that one's been done now. It's old. You need a new thing. We, interjects Natasha.
What?
We destroyed the Red Room.
Yeah, whatever. You helped a bit. Natasha rolls her eyes and turns to snag her rucksack from the ground, stuffing the strewn blankets and protein bar wrappers back into it. Movement on the road catches her attention. She straightens. You have got to be kidding me. A large black vehicle is pulled into the parking lot. A couple of black-clad Secret Service agents get out and start sniffing around. Anessa stiffens. Natasha reaches out a calming hand, keeping a tight control on the frustration threatening to leak into her voice. Don't worry. It's okay. It's me they're after. She laughs gently. They're like rats. Every time I think I've gotten rid of them all, a couple more pop up. Yelena snorts and Natasha turns to glare at her. This is your fault, she jabs her finger in her direction. You and your goddamn taxis. Hey, Yelena puts her hands on her hips. It's not my fault. I was careful. I walked 2 miles through smelly fields to get here. I bet it was you. I bet your bike's sitting out suspiciously in the open somewhere for everyone to see. One of the agents is looking their way. They're pointing upwards and Natasha ducks backwards, behind a tree slightly too late. Yelena huffs at her. Inessa looks baffled and a little concerned, her eyes darting between them. Natasha turns to her. I am really sorry about this, she smiles. Want to help us lose a tail? Yelena smirks. We have a deal. Every time she attracts these idiots, and I have to waste my time losing them, she buys me a drink. You can join us if you like. Inessa looks between them. Yes, she says finally. Yes, I would like that very much. The end. Thank you for listening.